As they do, I do have to give a little bit of a trigger warning to everyone. One of our stories today is quite intense, and there are themes of sexual abuse. And so if that's a trigger for you, it's okay. You know, you're welcome to stay or leave as you feel needed. This is a safe space, and so I don't want anyone to feel singled out or anything like that. But we're really thankful for our three panelists here. Before we go into our stories, how this is going to kind of look is I'm going to get them to share their stories one at a time, and they'll stay up here. And at the end, if we have any time, I have some pre-planned questions to ask them. So maybe just begin by introducing yourself and how long you've been at Bethel and what you do here, all of those wonderful things. So you take it away.
Hi, my name is Andy Hensman. I've been going to Bethel on and off since 2003. We moved here in that year. And so I've been here for most of my high school, moved away for Bible college, and then moved back for once we got pregnant with Olivia, our daughter. And so we've been back ever since then. And what I do here, I mostly volunteer with youth, and I'm leading a young adults life group.
I am Pastor Kaylee. I am the new family pastor here at Bethel, and I'm been here the shortest amount of time. Been on staff for 2 weeks, and been attending for about a month-ish, give or take, I think. So I oversee the kids ministry and the youth ministry, and looking forward to kind of connecting with parents and working with you guys to help you disciple your kids throughout your guys' life. And yeah, that's kind of what I do.
I'm Amber Kinsey, and our family has been attending here since the fall of 2019. And my husband, you saw him up on the stage here this morning, leading music. We help out in a variety of ways. I'm the bookkeeper, and we've led a life group, lots of little ways that we help out. I teach in Sunday school, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right on, thanks, guys. Andy, want to share your story of forgiveness?
Yeah, so it all kind of started a couple of weeks ago for me. There was I don't know if I would call it an altercation with a coworker at work, but basically what happened is he did something that would generally be considered objectively wrong to me. And I, at that time, started to feel like I really did need to forgive him personally in a way that he would understand. And so I was kind of just like grappling with the different ways to do that. And I really wanted to do it tactfully. So I was very cautious about just like maybe not even using the word "I forgive you," because I know that kind of in culture it's kind of become this almost buzzword where people get a little bit up in arms if they hear you say that to them, because they feel like, well, who are you to forgive me, and what did I do so wrong, and all this kind of stuff. And so I think I was trying to process that in a way that I could relate it to him and say, hey, you know what, I know this happened, I felt bad about it, can we clear the air? I'm not holding anything against you. And so that's more or less what I ended up saying to him. But it took me a while. This happened about 6 weeks ago now, and I really didn't know how to address the subject with him because, it was kind of a difficult situation. But I think it took me a while to get to a place where I was like emotionally and mentally ready to just share with him my thoughts. And so what that looked like was about 3 weeks ago now, I think, was the altar call where we kind of had time to pray about just like how would we forgive a person, or how can we do that in love. And so I went up for prayer, and just Joe prayed for me, and we kind of talked a little bit about that. And but yeah, so I still, even then, I was kind of quite ready to forgive him in my heart, and I had forgiven him in my heart. But at that time, I was still kind of waiting on the emotions to catch up to me where I was at, and they didn't. So that took about 2 weeks where I was just kind of sitting on my forgiveness and like waiting for a good opportunity to come and share that with him, and it just didn't happen. And so last week, what really stood out to me from Joe's sermon was he talked about how two things, actually. The first thing was you always be the first person to make the move. And so what that looked like for me was, yes, I was the person who kind of was offended, and I was the person who was hurt by what had happened. But whether or not I'm the person offending or the person who's being hurt, I do need to be the person who can, like, get up and say to him, like, hey, this happened. Let's clear the air. And the other thing that really stuck out to me from that talk last week was Joe said actually something at that time that really resonated with me because of my experience. He said, you're not likely, at least, ever going to feel the emotions akin to forgiveness. You're not going to feel ready to do that. And so for me, it did take a while, and I actually did forgive him last week, and I said those words to him. I said, like, hey, let's clear the air. I'm not holding anything against you. And it was actually really awkward. It's not a story with a satisfying ending. I know a good story has to have a beginning, middle, and a satisfying end, and this one doesn't. It just, like, I tried to clear the air, and it just never really happened. And so I'm kind of in a holding pattern right now where I've said my piece to him, and I'm just waiting on a restored relationship.
That's really good, Andy. A couple thoughts. One, just for clarification, when you made the decision to forgive, were you feeling like it? Like, did the feelings come before you said it, or did it come after, like, the emotional part of it?
Yeah, I think initially I was quite ready to forgive him, and there was, like, an emotion that I felt mostly on Sunday mornings when we were talking about forgiveness. So I was quite ready to forgive him at church on a Sunday morning, but when Monday rolled around, it didn't feel like that anymore.
I really love your honesty. I really appreciate that. You know, Andy, one of the reasons I wanted Andy to share his story was two things. One is, it's just really cool seeing how God is at work behind the scenes as you were going through this process, revealing things to you at different times when you were ready to receive them. The other thing that was not really cool, but very real life, is that there is no satisfying ending to your story. And I think that's something that many of us can relate to, is we get to the place where it's like, okay, I'm going to forgive, and then we do, and there's no reciprocation at all. And you're just like, well, what was that all about? And I think that your story is so valuable because it shows that we can walk in faithfulness and that our ability to forgive is not contingent on someone else's ability to apologize even, right? And that's really powerful. Thanks, Andy. Let's hear it for Andy. Pastor Kaylee.
I wrote it out because my thoughts kind of sometimes run away from me. So for your guys' sake, I wrote it out. So before I kind of get into the story, I just want to set the context to when this story took place in my life. And it involves my marriage with my husband. And so we've been married for almost 7 years this summer. And early on in our marriage, Jared, my husband, was struggling with pornography. And he was exposed when he was 11 years old. And because pornography is so addictive, it stayed with him throughout the teen years and later on into our marriage. There was a lot of shame for both of us in regards to this issue. And I felt like in order to protect Jared and to protect our marriage from other people's opinions, we kept the issue as hidden as possible. And so I put on this big facade that everything was fine and dandy in our young marriage, even though the reality was it wasn't. And so just remember that this is the context of what was going on. No one really knew what was happening. And Jared and I do want to share more about our journey and Jared's journey to freedom at some point. But yeah, that's not the story we're getting into today. That's just the context of what's going on. So the story, I had someone asked to take me to coffee once, and we had a good time, just some conversation, and we, at the very end, they asked the question about, like, about my marriage and how my husband and I were doing. And I mentioned that there were some things we were working on, but overall, we were doing pretty good. Again, that facade, trying to portray that facade, even though reality, things were not going well. The individual mentioned that they had noticed something in our relationship and started talking about an instance at a gathering of people and Jared tried to hug me and give me affection, and that I actually kind of pushed him away. I didn't want to receive that affection in that moment. And she didn't know this, but prior to this gathering, Jared and I had had a conversation about his pornography struggle and that he had recently fallen into it again. And so naturally, me wrestling with the different feelings of betrayal and pain and hurt, I didn't want to receive that affection from my husband in that instance, just because I was internally mad at him and what was going on. And so my facade had a small crack in it that night, and this individual noticed. And it bugged them, and they were concerned about us. And so this individual proceeded to talk about their concerns for our marriage, and they said that they felt God urging them to speak to me. But the message that I got from them in a nutshell was that I needed to choose to be happy in my marriage, or it would be my fault. My marriage would fall apart. And this person didn't know what was going on. And they were just trying to have it from say this from a place of care and concern. But me, as a 19-year-old, who was married for, I think, just around a year, not even, with this happening in our marriage, there was a lot of pain that came with that. And so, yeah, so this message was absolutely devastating, and it was crippling and so, so painful. And even though it was intended from a place of care and concern, oh, thank you. I forgot, there's one here. but this conversation hurt so much, and it actually solidified some of the struggles that I was already having with the issues of pornography in our marriage, that the issue of pornography was my fault, when in reality, that's a lie. after a coffee time, I came home to my husband and told him what had happened and was just bawling on our bed, feeling just completely wrecked. And I was really struggling with the confusion and pain that this conversation had brought, coupled with the respect I had for this person. And then and there, I vowed that I would never be alone with this person again, so they wouldn't have an opportunity to have similar conversations. Whenever they called me, I would avoid the phone call intentionally, because I just couldn't talk with them without being reminded about the pain that they had caused me. And this individual was still in my circles, and that wasn't going to change just what was happening. And I knew I needed to forgive them, because that's what Scripture tells us to do, right? It says throughout, like, forgive others. And so I knew, as the good Christian woman, I needed to forgive. And so I prayed and told God that I'd forgiven him, or forgiving them, but the heart wasn't quite there in that moment. And of course, my feelings and my actions did not line up at all with what I had prayed, because I was holding on to the hurt and the pain. And yeah, so forgiveness from the heart wasn't there at that point. And throughout the years, this was a year, like many years, journey for me towards forgiveness. Throughout the years, God had slowly been working on softening my heart towards full forgiveness for this individual. But I still felt that I couldn't let it go, even though I wanted to. I eventually, years later, talked to my dad about this instance of just kind of a few things that I was wrestling with. The two major things I was struggling with was, one, the aspect that they believed God was urging them to talk to me about this conversation, and that conversation had brought more hurt and pain than help. And the way that they went about it was not the best, and ended up solidifying a lie in my life that the pornography struggle that my husband was having was my fault, and it would be my fault if our marriage ended. The second one was forgiving and letting go of the pain that was caused, and that I wanted reconciliation, but I just didn't know how to get there. I was stuck. And so the first thing my dad, in a nutshell, told me, it was a longer conversation, but just because someone said that it was from God does not mean I have to take it and own it. Just working with God of like, God, was this really for me or was it not? Just working it with him specifically. And so I did have the freedom to let that go. And so that really helped me break off that struggle of just knowing that the reality, the message that I perceived, again, it might not have been what they wanted to say to me or the message that they wanted to give me, but that's what I perceived. And what I perceived was not truth. And I didn't need to hold on to that. I believe I needed to hear that in order to continue to move forward in my forgiveness journey. And then the next thing my dad said to me also really helped, because I really wanted to forgive. At that point, I was like, I really need to forgive this person. Like, I can't be holding on to this pain and hurt anymore. This needs to move forward. I want to reconcile this relationship. And he suggested that I pray with someone as a witness about forgiving that person. And then those feelings and pain that would be brought, that would consistently be brought up, I can bring myself back to that moment of prayer, moment with that person that witnessed that prayer. Like, no, I've forgiven them. And just keep going back to that moment. And so I did that. I went home with my husband and we prayed that night. And anytime like the phone rang and it was them, like I just brought myself back to the moment, no, I've forgiven them. Or those pains or the remembering of the conversation of, no, I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. And eventually my actions and my feelings did line up with where my heart wanted to be. It took time, but reminding myself of the forgiveness that I wanted to do and continue to walk in that. And I've gotten to the point of, I've actually been one-on-one with this person, having a meal with them. Even though I vowed I would never do that, I have done that because I've been able to get to that place of healing and that forgiveness. And I no longer intentionally avoid their phone calls. So it's just, I've been able to release that pain and really heal from what had happened.
You know, Kaylee, there's a couple things I really appreciate about your story. The first one is your vulnerability and Jared's vulnerability, to be able to share that. Church, our mission, our vision statement is to be an authentic community where lives are made new in Christ. And this is what authentic means. Authentic isn't something you plaster on the wall and you put on a smile for everybody and say, oh, I'm having a bad day, and maybe, you know, at the most. No, like authentic community is saying, hey, you know what, we're real people. And we have real problems, and sometimes that's hard, and I don't need a pat answer. I just need someone to walk with me on the journey, and that's the second part that I really appreciate, is the role of community and forgiveness. I think so often when we think about forgiveness, it's like, it's just me and the other person, and yes, when it comes to, you know, you don't want to be bashing the other person or spreading rumors, or you don't want to do any of that. But there is a really valuable place that community plays in the role of forgiveness, and your ability to talk to your dad and bring community in that way is so powerful. So thank you, Pastor Kaylee, for sharing that. Amber, it's your turn.
Well, I want to take you on a journey this morning. I'm 5 years old, and at this point in my life, my parents are divorced. And a person of trust and authority in my life, a family member, has been sexually abusing me for years. Today, I'm rounding up the courage to stand on a couch and tell him to stop. I'm alone with him. I make myself as big as possible, and I say, if you touch me again, I will tell my mommy. Now, my mom taught me to be a person of my word. So he didn't touch me again, so I didn't tell for years. But it built up inside of me. And this person was still very much a part of our lives. In grade 4, 5 years later, I broke down and I told my mom. She believed me and we started down the road of, and the process of persecution and healing. That person pled guilty, served time, and carried on. I did counseling, group therapy, etc. My mom was my biggest supporter and cheerleader. Keep in mind also at this point that God was not part of our lives in any conscious way. So fast forward a couple of years to grade 7. My mom had a massive heart attack while in the hospital. This abusive, convicted family member was welcomed into that special ICU family room, which meant I had to leave, and then she died. The family, in their grief, decided that it's time to let bygones be bygones and fully embraced this person back into the fold, saying life is too short, all the while leaving me cast aside. So now I'm hurting. I'm lost. And the person that I would have turned to is gone. I walked this. Oh, my dad, though, I want to point out, my dad stepped back in, and he was super supportive, but he's just not a mom. You know, and he went from weekend dad to full-time single dad in a snap with 2 kids. But I had so much pain, and I was seeking to find relief from that pain in so many ways, all the ways you can probably imagine. So I walked this road for a couple of years, angry, hurting, and at times trying to think of ways to end it. But God intervened. He stepped into my life at a summer camp. This is a plug for summer camp. God works in amazing ways. And he's never left. I was 15 and totally sold out for Jesus. My world was brand new. I lost all of my friends, but gained my best friend. After a couple of years of soaking in scripture, learning and growing, God called me into something deeper, a journey of forgiveness. At first, I tried to ignore it. Then I tried a simple, of course, I forgive him. But none of that worked. And the Spirit was relentless. You know, like every time you turn on the radio, every sermon you hear, every conversation seems to have forgiveness wrapped in it somewhere. And so I knew I either had to, like, let God go, which wasn't going to happen, or I had to choose to obey him. So I went deep. I knew I couldn't do it on my own, and Jesus was asking me to trust him. So I did. For me, this process included a face-to-face meeting with my abuser, whom I hadn't seen in years. We met. I shared with him that I had forgiven him for what he had done to me. And I clarified that this didn't mean it was okay. What it meant was that I wasn't going to hold it against him any longer. I then explained that this was not done in my own strength, but it was done through the power of Jesus Christ in me. He was doing the work. I was simply being obedient. He proceeded to cry and smile all at the same time. And he shared that he had been praying for me for years. I didn't know this person had any relationship with God. He was praying that one day I would be released from the burden that he had put on me, that I wouldn't have to carry around the pain and anger and bitterness forever. And he said, not for my sake. I don't deserve your forgiveness, but for yours. Bitterness eats up a person. We spoke truth that day. I showed mercy. We walked away with weights lifted off of both of us. I was very clear that I was not expecting any form of relationship, but that I knew I could attend family events if he was going to be there and be cordial. Well, God had different ideas for next steps. Over time, God rebuilt our relationship. I also had many opportunities to sit and hear his story of how he was abused as a child repeatedly, how he went to the authorities, was sent home back to his abusive place, and then chided by his mother for causing a stir. Does that make what he did to me right? No. But it does give context and humanizes him. What if that had been me? What if my mother didn't believe me and I had been stuck? Now he had a space where he could share his experiences and stories and begin his own healing journey. If I walk into a church and I tell you my story, I'm embraced. I'm loved. People feel sorry for me. If he walks into a church, he's shunned. And why? I don't understand why there isn't help for anyone that wants it. I think we're getting there with stories of pornography because people are being more open. I would say that's been true of that as well in the past. But we need to be a place where anybody who wants help gets it. The world tells us that all pedophiles should be taken out and shot, or at the very least, locked up for the rest of their lives. But Jesus tells us that he who has no sin should cast the first stone. And I may not be a pedophile, but I certainly know that I'm a sinner. Joe quoted C.S. Lewis, and he said, "Being a Christian is to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." He calls us to forgive. This journey hasn't been easy. And just when I think I have it all squared away and figured out, sorry, I can't read because I'm crying. Okay. He throws another curveball. Well, I'm thrown another curveball. The grace that I have shown has been very costly. For example, when I started having kids, especially my daughter, was this person allowed to be alone with my children? No, of course not. But even with me sitting right there, the devil tried to get between us. He tried to stir up that anger and bitterness again in me. Made me want to kick him out of my house. And he was being completely normal, like any one of you interacting with my children. So forgiveness, I learned, didn't mean that I would never struggle with my human emotions again. But with the grace of God reminding me, my child was in my sight. My child was safe. He had done a great work in us, and the devil had no power to take that down. True forgiveness refuses to make the other person suffer. In those moments, I had to, as Joe put it, absorb the debt. I had released him from further payment or suffering. I want to go back to how Joe defined forgiveness. Forgiveness is truthfully recognizing the wrong, identifying the offender, identifying with the offender, and self-sacrificially absorbing the debt so that the relationship can be restored. I didn't have this definition when I started on my journey. If I had, I wouldn't have thought it possible. When I look back, though, I can see every part represented. When I started, I didn't want restoration. I just was seeking to be rid of my anger and bitterness and to be obedient to God. But now the depth and richness in that relationship is something that I wouldn't trade. Nothing was hidden between us. Me being obedient to God's call has freed this person up to pursue their relationship with God again. It also allowed me to go deeper with God, because without obedience in this issue, I would have been blocked in my own growth. It's also helped me to weather several storms that have come my way, knowing that if God could make beauty from the ashes in this situation, he can do so in anything. So, church, I want to tell you, forgiveness is hard. Healing is uncomfortable. But the journey and the end results are very worth it.
There's not really much to say to that. I just really want to thank you for your vulnerability and sharing that story with us. I know that that's going to help other people in this room, maybe people who are watching online, to find healing. And what comes to my mind, I think, when I hear your story of forgiveness, I mean, forgiveness isn't possible without the power of God, but the kind of reconciliation that you have with that individual, that just doesn't happen without the power of God. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. And that's truly incredible. Thank you. We have time for a couple questions. So, and this is for all of you, and whoever wants to answer first can. What was, in your story of forgiveness, what was the turning point for you? Like, when was the moment that either where you found freedom or when you realized that it had built up enough that it needed to be dealt with?
I think for me, the moment was last week's sermon, and it was just hearing the two things that I kind of mentioned, that your emotions are not likely going to catch up with your state of your mental state, and also that you need to be the first person, whether you've been hurt or not. And so the turning point for me was just that moment of understanding that, like, I could go on for years without feeling the emotions to forgive this person.
I think for me, it was in order, I think, for, I guess it kind of goes into the journey of Jared and I and forgiveness there and freedom there. But I felt like I couldn't move past at all the lie that, you know, what was going on in our marriage was my fault. And so I was wrestling with that and knowing what the truth really was, and I couldn't get past that. And so I just knew, like, you know, I need to deal with this conversation. This needs to be gone. This needs to be done with, which led me to connect with my dad over it.
I think for me, it was, I had been in such, like, deep relationship with God and really recognizing how much this would stop my growth with him. For me, knowing that if I didn't obey him in this, that I essentially it would stop my growth, and I knew I didn't want that. So I think for me, that was my, like, and then realizing I also couldn't do it on my own, because I'd been trying to do it on my own for like a year or so, and realizing, oh, that's not what he means. He doesn't mean go and do this, then come back to me. It's, I want you to do this, and I'm doing it with you.
Yeah, that's really good. Final question is, you know, all of our wonderful friends here in the room, if you could give them one piece of encouragement or one piece of advice on how to find freedom through forgiveness, what would it be? I didn't give them these questions ahead of time, so it's okay if they take a second to think about it.
I think for me, like, the common theme in my story is just, like, don't wait until you feel ready. That was the biggest thing for me, is just, like, we could wait a long time to forgive somebody and let bitterness happen, but for me, if I could share anything and have you guys recognize that for yourselves as well, would just be, don't wait until you feel ready to do something. You can do it whether or not you feel the emotions there.
I think I just come back to thinking, like, when you're holding on to something and, like, imagine you're squeezing your fists and, like, your nails are digging into your hand, and that's painful. So when you hold on to these different things against someone, or, like, just in particular my story, like I was holding on to this conversation and the pain that that conversation brought me. And it was just getting worse. The pain was getting worse. And I wasn't able to move forward. And so I had to release that to God and open up, in a sense, like, now my mind is blanking on what this type of thing is. an analogy of like releasing that to God, so opening up my hand so I'm no longer holding and hurt and holding that pain, but releasing that to God to allow that to heal. Forgiveness allows you to heal. I don't think you can fully heal without forgiveness. And even with our relationship with God, like we need to come and confess to God and ask for forgiveness before God can heal that and forgive us from that. And so just coming to him, constantly coming to him and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and knowing that it can take time. Like forgiveness isn't instant. The journey of forgiveness isn't an instant thing, and it takes time, and that's okay.
Yeah, forgiveness is a choice. I think I've had many opportunities to practice this since in many other situations as well. And what I've learned from my own journey, and I would encourage you guys, is if you're struggling, is in prayer, asking God to give you his eyes for that person. Help him to see, ask him to help you see that person the way that he does. Which humanizes them. So that's one thing. And the other is don't hold this need for forgiveness to yourself. And not that you, like Kaylee said, go and spread, you know, rumors and stuff, but find that core group that can journey with you, because I had that and I needed that. I needed the people that I could go back to after that face-to-face meeting and cry and and shake and deal with, process those emotions. I needed people that were praying for me while I was at that meeting. So having people that go with you on that journey, inviting them in, and having them pray for and you pray for God to give you his eyes towards this person.
Good. You know, just one thought that kind of came to me. I had some time to think after your story, Amber. Going back to a phrase that we've been using over and over again throughout this series is that there can be no true justice without forgiveness. And I think the powerful, one of the many powerful things in your story is that there was justice. It wasn't enacted in vengeance because you had the power to forgive, but it wasn't pushed to the side and hidden, right? Like there was a prosecution that happened, and there was justice that happened, but it was able to happen in a pure way because you didn't demand, you know, continuous payments over and over and over again. So, very powerful. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't articulate that super
go ahead. But, it's interesting. Before I had forgiven him, this person served 10 months, which at first felt like a total injustice. Like, you have wrecked me for years. Like, you opened up the sexual promiscuity in me at a young age. You've caused, you know, things that I still struggle with to this day, you know. And so there was an element to which, prior to forgiving this person, I didn't feel, even though, yes, they had gone to jail and done their time, I felt like it wasn't enough, right? So, you know, it is interesting, but working through that forgiveness process, I can see like the weight that they carried all those years having done that and the burden, and you know that person has carried that through their life as well, knowing what they had done and regretting it and all of those types of things, and they punished themselves as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate you mentioning that. I think that shows that there's a level of complexity to forgiveness that often we don't acknowledge. And I think the best way to move forward in that, this is my advice to anyone who's looking to forgive, is to prayerfully walk with God down that journey. Because he will help you set good boundaries. He will help you find true healing and restoration and ultimately overcome evil with good.